Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I want to encourage you to take hold of your Bibles, and throughout the study this morning, I'm just going to say, whoever's there first, go ahead and read it. So please participate, because I give about the five-second rule. So if you're not there, I'll go ahead and start. But let me just first express my appreciation for the opportunity to come and be with you this week. I'm looking forward to get to know you all. Of course, we've known Danny and Kathy for a long, long time, Josh and Tiffany. But we've heard about the group here and the good work that you're all doing, and we're just looking forward to being with you. My wife Debbie's here, and I just hope you get a chance to meet her, and I'll just shut up and get into class. I'm not good with the preliminary stuff. All right, we're going to talk about this morning in our Bible study class something that is, I think, is just a good topic for us to jumpstart the meeting with. How important is prayer to the life of a Christian? How important?
Very important.
Are we going to make it to heaven without prayer? There's my question. Can we make it to heaven without prayer?
No.
Think about that. We just understand. It's like asking somebody how important is air. We need it. You know, when I talk with somebody, and you might want to be opening up your Bibles to some passages here. Have James 5 ready. We're going to get there eventually. But you know, when I have an opportunity to study with somebody who's kind of weak in their faith, and I learned that from a preacher years ago, an older preacher said, Chuck, if you go to a place and you just see somebody that just needs some encouragement, set up a class with them. And I've done that. And when I do sit down and talk with people and they're struggling, I'll just ask them two questions. Number one, how's your Bible study habit? And number two, how's your prayer life? That's called communication, right? In a marriage, husbands and wives, us studying the Word of God is God communicating with us. We praying to God is us communicating with Him. And we just can't do all the listening or do all the talking. They both need to exist, but we need to talk about prayer. All right, before we get into four main points I want to talk about, and I'll tell you exactly the angle we're going to talk about this morning. But first of all, what are some things that we pray about? Since we've emphasized how important prayer is, what are some things we pray about?
It should be Thanksgiving.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. We need to be a thankful people. Jesus taught that, you know, when he healed the 10 lepers. What surprised him? Yeah, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? You know, and everything give thanks. What's another thing we pray about?
Courage.
Absolutely. We need courage, especially when we're going out and preaching the gospel, standing against the wiles of the devil. I'm thinking of Matthew chapter 6 when he talks about all those different areas that we turn to God and we ask Him for help in. Any other specifics you can think of that we pray about?
Wisdom.
James chapter 1, I love that. We pray for wisdom. What is wisdom?
Understanding.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. We take that knowledge and we apply it, and that's what we need to do. All right, we're missing some really big ones here. What do we pray about? What else do we need to pray for?
Advancing other kingdoms.
Okay, reaching the lost, expanding that. I know Paul's heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved in Romans chapter 10. We need to spread the gospel, praying for the lost. Another thing?
Forgiveness.
Been waiting for that one. Yeah, I mean, we're just not going to make it. I mean, 1 John chapter 1, if we say we don't sin, we're what? Liar, and the truth's not within us. And so we've already listed all these things that we pray. We pray for the church in general, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. How about our daily needs, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, and so on. And so the list goes on and on. So we know how important it is. All right. Can our prayers ever be in vain? Not accomplish anything. Is it possible that our prayers could not accomplish what we want?
Yeah.
How so?
Okay,
so we know that there are things that can hinder our prayers. Alright? We know that, and we're going to look at some examples here in just a few moments. Because what I want us to see that without prayer and a proper prayer life, the seriousness of all this, I'm not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to make it to heaven if our prayer life is not right. Our prayers can be in vain. They can be useless, as we're talking about. So we're going to talk about four things this morning I thought we would look at, and I'm going to be listing some passages. I mentioned James 5. I know a bunch of you are there. Somebody turned to 1 Peter chapter 3. That was quoted just a moment ago. But 1 Peter chapter 3. I want somebody over Matthew 6. Matthew 6 And then, of course, Matthew 7. That will cover our first point. All right. What we're going to talk about this morning is that our prayers are going to be useless, vain, empty, not accomplish what we hope they would accomplish, unless we see the connection between prayer and these four things. Prayer and these four things. First thing. We need to see the connection between our prayer life and righteous living. Righteous living. James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 reads what? First one that gets there, reads it.
Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
I like this. You know, when you talk about Elijah, a man with a nature like ours, guys, we read these Old Testament characters like, you know, they're larger than life. It's like you and me. Great men of faith. But when he talked about prayer here, the prayer of what?
Righteous.
The prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Now, what about the prayer of an unrighteous man?
God hears not a sinner's prayer.
Peter tells us that. God's not going to listen. And so when I think to myself that I want, you know, if a brother or sister comes up to me, and I notice you guys have a prayer list, back of the bulletin, or somebody comes up to you and says, you know, can you pray for me? I would hate that for somebody to come up to me and say, Chuck, can you help me? Can you pray for me? And to realize that, you know what, if my life is not right with God, I can't help them. Oh, I could go through the motions. I could pray, but my prayers could be hindered. And this was mentioned earlier. Who's got that 1 Peter 3, verse 7 text? It's a quick verse, guys. 1 Peter 3, 7.
If your husband in the same way lives with your wife in an understanding way, with someone weak, and she is a woman and shows her honor as far as earned a grace of life, so that your prayers will be not hindered.
So that your prayers be not hindered. Again, we're just trying to realize that we know that prayer is a vital part of our lives, that we're just not going to make it to heaven without prayer. And I just don't know, you know, we really need to stress this. It happened, guys, probably about 3 years ago. Had a chance to sit down with a young man, we were studying, and I just wanted to help him to get stronger. I asked him this simple question. I said, so when's the last time you prayed? He goes, let me see. A few years ago, I think it was shortly thereafter. I'm going, what? Years? Years without praying? You know, folks, we know that that's wrong. But we also need to understand that we could be praying on a regular basis, but if there is unrighteousness in our lives, if we're refusing to repent of certain sins, we're not going to treat our wives right. We're not going to be righteous. Why would we even expect the Lord to be with us? Matthew chapter 6, I know I made reference to this. Go ahead and read 5 through 7 because that's going to tie into the next point and I'll come back to it. But let's read Matthew 6, 5 through 7.
And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words.
Well, you know, there's a reason why people do certain things. There's a reason why people would pray in vain. It's because they think the wrong thing. I don't want to be thinking the wrong thing. I don't want to be thinking that God is hearing me, deceiving myself, and it's not accomplishing anything. So I have to be honest with myself, making sure that I am being faithful to my Lord, repenting of my sin and striving to do what's right. And it's going to tie into our next point in just a few moments. But remember, they think that they will be heard. And don't be like them. they're vain words that are being offered to me. And the lesson for you, the lesson for me is, God is aware of this. He takes prayer very seriously. We've already established, I'm not making it to heaven without a proper prayer life. I can't make it. Therefore, I better see the connection between that and righteousness. One more verse and then we'll move on because I want to get through all four. I asked somebody to turn to Matthew 7. You know the text real well, but there's a certain phrase I want to notice in here. Verses 21 through 23.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And when I will profess unto them, I never knew you. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Now you stop and think about that phrase. I never knew you. Remember they talked about Judas? It would have been better for him what? Did anybody remember? It would have been better for him never to have been born. You think of any one of us here, in the lives that you've touched, the things that you've done in this life, if you're not living a righteous life to say, it would have been better if you'd never been born, oh come on, I must have done something good. And for the Lord to sit there or say to these people in the last day, I never knew you, give me some credit. Look, folks, if we're not going to live righteously for Him, then we are deceiving ourselves, and we're not going to help ourselves, and we're not going to help other people. And I think of all those lists of things that you pray for on a daily basis, and I know a lot of parents here, tell me, right? Your prayer life really increased once you had children? I mean, how often? I cannot, when I talk about prayer, I cannot think of the last time I prayed, I didn't remember the kids, and now the grandchildren. You just want to pray for them. But you know what? I don't want to be praying these things and it's not doing any good. So let's move on to the next point. Let me give you some assignments. Luke 15, I've got two verses. I don't want you to read the whole thing. Luke 15, 18 and 19. I'll tell you the verses again in a moment. Somebody turn to Luke 18. Matthew 6, 9. We're going to have that one. And then Matthew 15. Let me give somebody... that'll suffice for that point. All right, next point. Not only do we need to see the connection between prayer and righteous living, we need to see the connection between prayer and humility. Humility. When we come to God in prayer. I mean, we just see this throughout the Scriptures. The humility and the approaching the Father, I'm just using the parable here, the prodigal son, of the phrase that was given here. Verses 18 and 19 of Luke 15 reads what?
I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.
Well, wait a second. Sounds like a humble person to me, right? If you're so humble, don't even go. You ever heard somebody take that approach where, you know what, I don't go to services because I'm so lowly, I don't even feel worthy to go to worship. Does that sound like humility to you? What's that sound like?
Excuse me.
Absolutely. Now, you can show humility, but when you go to that far where you don't do what the Lord expects you to do, it's not humility. It's kind of like when Judas hung himself, did he feel bad for what he did? I mean, did he feel bad? Yeah, there was remorse there, right? But was that a good thing? Was God impressed? No, because godly sorrow leads to repentance. That's just sorrow. That's worldly sorrow. A lot of people feel bad for what they've done. Now, what I liked about the text there, he said, I am going to go to my Father, and I'm going to actually talk to Him. Well, that's arrogant of you. No, I am going to go to Him, and I am going to tell Him, I have sinned, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So what comes across when we pray to God? Really? I mean, what kind of disposition should come across when we come to Him? When we ask things of Him? What should come across?
Humility.
Yep. Could you expand on that a little bit? I mean, how are we coming... Pardon me? Yeah, repentance in heart, yes. And it's this idea that I'm not making demands of you. You know, that's the part of the humble part. You know, my child comes up and said, Dad, can I have $10? Can I borrow $10? And I really want to get this. That goes a long way than say, hey, Dad, give me $10, will you? You know, there's a difference there. And I think sometimes we forget, when we come to God in prayer, we're just not putting in time. You guys know this one. I mean, how can we talk about this point without reading Luke 18, 9 through 14? And who's that? Who has that? You've heard the expression, less is more. You might read this and say, well, I guess the Lord just wants me to beat my breast, say, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and that's all I need to pray about. Keep it short, keep it simple. Well, you understand the context of this. I mean, I love the verse 9. He spoke this parable to them who trusted in themselves that they were what? Righteous. That was our first point. They trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised other people. And so there's lots that we can pray about, but the point that he's bringing out in this parable, God looks at your attitude. He looks at the disposition. We worship in spirit and in truth. It's great that you're here today. I feel good that I'm here today, but wait a second, Chuck. Are you full of yourself today? Because if you think it's all about you, you're in trouble. The folks did not come here to hear Chuck. They came to hear Chuck preach the Word of God. They came to hear the Word of God. They've come here to worship God. You better get that right. And so the spirit and in truth is vital. And so when I think of the humility of heart, it has to be there. Matthew 6, 9, quickly. It's that phrase. We have it.
After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name. The reverence, the respect that is there. It comes across in our voice. You know, if somebody great comes in there, I don't want to use the president, I could use somebody else, but anyway, just somebody comes in, you know, and you say, hey Bob, how's it going? You know what, I mean, you could call somebody Mr. so-and-so, and just, you know, we understand in our society today, you know how it comes across when you're showing respect. And more so, guys, we know this in our prayer life, when we approach our Father. The Matthew 15, last one, and we've got to move on, we're timing in about 5 apiece here. Who's got Matthew 15, 7 through 9? Talking about purity in our words. Matthew 15, 7 through 9.
Ye hypocrites, will yet Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with thy mouth, and honoreth me with thy lips, but thy heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
There it is. Their heart is far from them. When we approach our God and we have our children on our mind, we have our mates on our mind, we have the church, we have the lost on our mind, we have the government on our mind, that we can have this, the peace to come here even today, and I'm thinking about the sick are on our mind. All these things, they're more than just words. I remember a preacher years ago did a series on preaching, or on prayer, and the title of his series was Prayer, More Than Just Words. That always stuck in my mind, more than just words. And it's true. And our heart has got to be in it, and God looks at our disposition. We need to see the connection between prayer and humility, prayer and righteousness. Thirdly, and we've quoted some of these passages already, but didn't read this one. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Somebody have that one ready. Here's the third one. We must see the connection between prayer and frequency. How often do we pray? Now, we talked about earlier from the James passage, in James chapter 5, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How much does a righteous man want to accomplish? Because it says the prayer of a righteous man accomplishes availeth much. Well, how much do we want to accomplish, folks? How much do we want to accomplish?
A lot.
In what areas? What do we want to accomplish a lot in? Let's say this week.
Bringing the lost.
There you go. That's a big thing. That we want to think about the loss. I mean, how much do we want the loss saved? I mean, I tell the brethren back home. I say, oh yeah, it's great, you know, that we're doing things. We're trying to evangelize with TV and radio. And, you know, it's good, but they're mailing out the bulletins. The brethren are just like excited about this. We had actually had two sisters fighting. I say fighting, but I'm only mailing one, and he's got five more names, and you're already mailing out four. I want to mail out more. And I'm going, this is nice to hear. But, you know, the point is, you want to mail out more, that's great. We're getting more and more people that if they call in with a Bible question for the radio program or the TV program, we say, you know, we're going to mail you the bulletin. And so we got all this long list of people mailing out. But I tell the brethren, I say, it's great that you're doing that. And the people taking the courses and the people are calling in, but pray for the lost. Pray often for that. Jesus, in the garden, how many times did he pray the same thing?
Three
times. Same time, right? I mean, it was in a short span. Three times he prayed, and he said the same thing. Was it a vain repetition?
No.
Was it a repetition? Yes, but how come it wasn't vain? Absolutely. His heart was in it. And it was on his mind. And that's what you do. You pray about things that are on your mind. And I remember years ago doing a lesson on prayer, and I was saying, you know, prayers tell us a lot about ourselves. If you sat down with a piece of paper right now and say, okay, here's some things that I pray about. You know, I'm going to write a little list of things. Well, what's missing from that list? When's the last time I prayed for my wife? When's the last time I prayed for the lost? When's the last time I prayed for the church? You know, there's always, you know, I prayed for the preacher, for the elders, and, you know, whatnot. Just all these things, because I know you prayed for Danny when he went away, you know, in a foreign country, and you know, for safety and for the lost, but even in our own backyard of reaching the lost, for this meeting, just what kind of efforts are we putting in? Our prayers tell us a lot about ourselves, and here's the key. If everybody prayed like you, what would have been prayed for last week? Could we put the word much there? If everybody followed your prayers, what you said, let's just pick a day last week. Let's grab last Thursday. From morning till evening, things you prayed about, would we attach the word much to it? And that's what I want us to see. The frequency aspect. Who has that 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Because we have to
read. Pray without ceasing.
Wait a minute. A person's on a job. You know, we have people in our factory. You know, they've got stuff coming through on a conveyor belt maybe, and they can chop their fingers off, they got to pay attention. How is it you can pray without ceasing? I'll tell you this much, guys. Praying without ceasing is that you take advantage of all times of being near God. And we're going to talk about that. It's our last point, and I've got just enough time. But it's kind of like a carpenter. I'm not a great carpenter, but I don't know how many times I have hit my thumb. What happens when you hit your thumb?
It hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens when I've done this and done it again? It hurts even more. But you know what's interesting is that when you do that, you're not like using every bad word that could ever come to mind. Why? Why don't you cuss? Why don't you cuss when you hit your finger? Because God is not far from you. You just know that you just don't do that kind of thing. And when I think about when you're traveling and whatnot, you know, we could say, Danny, you know, people are praying for you, but Danny, did you pray for yourself? Because you know what? You're there, you're getting on a plane. You know, God can't be far from any one of us. And so that frequency idea is just, it's just a given. When there are things that are on our heart, we just pray over and over. We're never going to stop. Does anybody here, you can raise your hand, pray too much? Yeah, Chuck, that's me. Man, I pray all the time. Really? Really? Well, good for you. You know, I'm proud of you. No, I pray too much. You don't understand. No, you know, none of us are guilty of that. And so what I want to do this week is just challenge us, tell you things you've heard before. You're not going to hear anything new this week. You're not going to sit there and go, what? I never knew that. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to say, oh, yeah, just remind us of things that you've heard in the past. That's why I like the old phrase, revival. You know, to revive us. That's the way I am. When I go home, people can tell when I've been away. Oh, you've been away in a meeting, haven't you? Why? get down here. Because I'm flying high. I get encouraged. You encourage me. And so I'm the one that's going to get the benefit from this week. But we've got to get to this I think I heard it go. Well, now we've got about 3 minutes. Last point. Somebody get to James chapter 4, because the reason why I want you to read this, it ties all the points together. James chapter 4, 6 through 10. We've got enough time. This point is, we must see the connection between prayer, get this, and our closeness with God. We have to see that connection that is there. Our closeness with Him. And I love this text in James chapter 4, 6 through 10. Whoever has it, let it go.
But He who gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up.
Wow. I mean, this whole text is talking about our disposition towards Him and our whole idea that we want to draw near to Him and He'll draw nigh to us, and how that He resists the proud, that we talked about that, and then He talked about resisting the devil. Cleanse your hands. Oh, you want me to be righteous? Yes. Be righteous. Be pure. Let us be united. Let's work together. I think of the hardships that we could face. What did Paul and Silas do in Acts 16? After they've been beaten and they're cast in prison?
Sang and prayed.
Why in the world did they do that? Why not just cry and feel sorry for yourself? Why did they sing and pray? Any idea? Why would you sing and pray in a situation like that?
They were close to God.
They were close to God. And they wanted God close to them. You know, you don't talk to somebody. I mean, well, you may, you know, when they don't pay attention. You, who I'm talking to you, but you usually talk to somebody so that they'll listen. You know, you don't talk a long time, and you know that they're not listening. Who does that? And so we talk to God and we sing to God because we know He's listening. We're here worshiping God today because we know He is aware of it, that we're here for Him. That brings us great joy. And knowing that, that strengthens the bond that we have. That's like our husbands and wives. You know, the more we talk to one another. I'm telling you this much, guys. Go home, don't speak to your wife for a week, come back and tell me, are you closer? You know it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Or you just go home and talk to her all week, but don't listen to her. It doesn't work both ways. So what we're trying to accomplish, what we did this morning, listen to God, and we started off with prayer, which was great. Prayer. And may it continue to be there throughout this week, and the clock says it's 10:30, my time is done, and I'm going to sit down. Thank you for your participation.